It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready?
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday, holiday Friday. It's your sports bros, at least one of them. My name is Isaac. Big Souk is out today. He'll be back on Tuesday when we reconvene following the holiday.
Am I a sports bro?
You are.
So at least two of them.
Yeah, I know. I just, I'm not
one of the sports bros, but you know, a couple sports bros
you're
here.
You're a sports bro.
Yeah.
You're in the club, bro.
Thanks, man.
So,
bro.
Yeah, that's Ryan Buckley right over there. He's hot to trot today.
Ooh.
Yeah, baby.
Joey Harrington will be joining us at 5:30. We'll ask him, what is a successful season for Oregon football? And what was it like to play in games like the one against Idaho? Crappy teams. So that'll be 5:30. We'll do two seggies with him. Coming up tonight in the club, we have a debate, a very heated debate. It's one I think we've covered before, the topic.
I wasn't sure. It seems like certainly would be within your wheelhouse, but popped up again.
We have covered it, but I this scenario is a little bit different, and it did lead me to think, you know, these situations aren't all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so it pertains to sports a little bit. And so, but it's a thing in the world. And we got to tackle it.
A thing in the world.
We will tackle that 6-7. Coming up next, pertaining to the Mike McDaniel extension, you know, the Miami Dolphins. We mentioned this the other day on the show because somebody texted it in. I had no idea. They haven't won a playoff game for years, and I mean years. It is a sneaky drought for Miami. And that led me down a rabbit hole of the franchises that now have the longest drought without a playoff win.
Okay.
Because the Lions, it was Detroit.
Right, and they
won.
What was theirs, like 25 years or something? What did we say it was?
I think they hadn't won a playoff game since the 90s.
Like 30 years, maybe?
It was either 91 or 96. I can't remember. Oh, no, it was 91. Yeah, 1990. They hadn't won a playoff game since 1991.
Yikes.
So that's why that was such a big moment last year. Anyway, we'll get to that next before Joey. Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Souk. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number five.
A little bit of a sad, not a little bit, a very sad story out of hockey.
Yeah, this was awful.
Columbus Blue Jackets winger Johnny Gaudreau?
Gaudreau, yeah.
And his brother were both killed in New Jersey. They were struck by a car while riding their bikes. They were in town for their sister's wedding. The driver was impaired. Gaudreau was an all-star in 2023. I was wondering if he was a good player, like what kind of player. He's a great player, right?
He was the kind of guy, though. He was like a prodigy. I think he was the number one overall draft pick. His nickname was Johnny Hockey. I mean, he was like the man. And so he ended up being a very good player, but he didn't live up like a Sidney Crosby or a McDavid. But he was in that kind of rarefied air when he came into the league. So super sad. I read that the car that hit them was trying to go around a car that had moved over to give them more space on the right side. And obviously we know about the alcohol play too.
Yeah, and they said that they interviewed the driver. They interviewed
number
the guy.
Four.
And he's like, yeah, I had five or six beers. And then he said he failed his field sobriety test. And he said, what else did he say? There was one other quote in there where it's like, do you want to go to jail for the rest of your life? He basically was like, yeah, I'm just housed.
What the hell, man?
Weird. Then sad. I mean, and the sister, it's like,
her wedding was supposed to be tonight.
Yes.
And her two brothers are gone, and I'm sure that event's not happening.
Yeah.
Horrible.
What do you... Morbid question, but what do you do there?
I think people probably get together for dinner and it turns into a wake. Like, I mean, like a remembrance. Like, I don't...
I mean, you spend all that money?
You're not going to have a wedding.
Dolphins extend the contract of Coach Mike McDaniel by 3 years. That takes him through 2028. That team hasn't won a playoff game since Y2K, which we will discuss next segment.
Nice.
He is just the third coach in their franchise history to take the Fins to the playoffs in each of his first two seasons. The other two being, of course, the great Don Shula.
John.
And Dave Wanstead. Friend of the program. Dave Wanstead.
You guys had Wanstead on?
Yeah. Oh. Back at Pac-12 Media Day. You know, he was doing some... Well, he was on Fox, wasn't he? He was an analyst.
I guess. I don't really remember him ever analyzing Pac-12 stuff, but he probably had some crossover at some point where he had to.
He was there in L.A., and he was great. Very nice guy. The Mariners begin the night four games back in the AL West of the cheating-ass Astros. My Royals let the Astros off the hook last night. Our bullpen sucks. And the Astros came back and won that game after the Royals came back and took the lead in that game. So it's four games. Seattle is heading to L.A., to take on the Angels. Scores right now, Braves lead the Phillies 4-1 in the sixth. Cubbies up 7-3 on the Nats in the fifth. Yankees up 4-2 on the Cardinals in the fourth. And the Brewers in the first game of the doubleheader beat the Reds 5-4. What do we think about the Brewers' chances in the postseason? That team's pretty good.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, no Yelich. So I have not seen enough of them, mostly because it feels like their division hasn't been competitive most of the season.
Well, yeah, they're running away with it.
It means I haven't paid attention because it hasn't been a close race. We haven't seen a lot of games. I don't know.
Number two. Round two of the Tour Championship. It's coming into focus. It looks like it's going to be a three-man game. And your boy has money on two of the three.
Oh, you do now. See, I didn't get into this tournament because I didn't like the way that it was kind of set up with the staggered start strokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. A lot of people don't like that. Scottie Scheffler doesn't even like it. But right now, they have completed round two. Scottie Scheffler, 21 under. Colin Morikawa shot a 63 today. He is 17 under. And Xander Schauffele is 16 under. So it's tightened up a little bit. Scheffler led by 7 at the end of the first round. Now he leads by just 4. Those three are running away with it. Next in line would be Sahith Theegala, Wyndham Clark, and Adam Scott are all way back there at 12 under. So you never know. But I bet you one of those top three wins it. And that is going to be a hell of a battle because if all three had... I mean, like if you... Those are probably the guys that have had the best season.
Yeah, no doubt.
Obviously, Xander and Scotty.
No doubt.
If you said a third guy who's had the best season besides us, it's probably Morikawa.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the wins.
He just doesn't have, yeah.
Absolutely.
Didn't have the majors. Want to tell you before we get to number one, Coco Gauff is still alive at the U.S. Open. She advances to round four. And Francis Tiafoe got revenge on Ben Shelton, a five-set thriller as he advances in the men's draw. Five touchdowns for Cam Rising in Utah's win last night. Shador Sanders threw for 445 in Colorado's narrow win. College football is back. Tonight, we've got number 16, Oklahoma, taking on Temple. And right now, they are up 17-0.
Make that 20-0.
20-0 in the second quarter. Michigan State, Jonathan Smith's debut. They are leading Florida Atlantic 9-0. That is a touchdown and a safety there in the second quarter. Later, you get Stanford taking on TCU. Wisconsin will play Western Michigan. Duke has an early 3-0 lead on Elon, and Army over Lehigh, 28-7 in the third quarter. That's what we have tonight. Good little Friday night slate.
Good little slate.
Tomorrow, of course, the feature game is Georgia-Clemson with a side dish of Notre Dame-Texas A&M.
Yep, and then Sunday, I think a good one, USC-LSU.
What's the line on that? Do you know?
It opened at LSU by 6. It's right now around LSU by 4. Money coming in on SC.
Who would you take in that?
I would take SC. LSU lost Jaden Daniels. They lost two great wide receivers to the draft. I think Lincoln Riley can scheme it up. That feels like a close game to me, and I think USC can hang. So take the points.
There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. So which franchises now have the longest drought without a playoff win? That's next. And then Joey Harrington here on 1080 The Fan.
What?
There'll be days like this when there's no one complaining.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Mama told me. Fan. God, love Van Morrison. What's up? We were just talking about our son, Meatball. Yours truly's son is getting married. Got a new fiance, Emma. Happened today up in Vancouver, British Columbia. We were talking about grandma and grandpa names.
Yeah.
What if, guys, we want it to just, you know, whatever. The kids will figure it out or mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. will come up organically. What if they just settle on, like, Grandbro?
Sure.
You know
what's
like
funny?
Like the new age name.
My grandmother on my dad's side, her name was Joanne, and she thought that like grandma or granny made her sound like a fuddy-duddy, so she went by Grandjo. It's very
Grandjo.
Close to Grandbro.
Grandbro.
She even had a vanity plate that said Grandjo
bro.
On it.
That's fantastic.
Grand Joanne. Grandjo.
I like that. What about G-Dog?
Oh, I like that. You should be G-Dog.
G-Dog?
Yeah.
Or I could make him call me Lil G.
Ooh. Okay.
Lil Gramps. Lil Gramps?
Lil Grampy?
God. All right. Well, they're not pregnant, by the way. Just stating for the record. Hopefully that takes a little time. Joey Harrington coming up next for his weekly visit. But, so the Dolphins lock up Mike McDaniel, and I think Mike McDaniel's a good coach. I know the Souk has been crapping all over the Dolphins the last couple of days, and rightly so. Look, they're going to need to prove that they can win in cold weather. They're going to need to prove that they can win against better teams. I meant to look up their schedule, but McDaniel's a good coach.
I think so.
And locking him up was the right move.
The problem with them is they didn't beat a lot of teams better than them the last year and the year before.
No, that's right. That's what Souk was saying, and he's right. I mean, they've got work to do, but I you're not going to move off of McDaniel. I don't think he's the problem.
No, I agree.
Maybe a little better roster, maybe a little better quarterback. I don't know. See if they can get Tua going. But this year, I'm looking at their first several games. You know, they come to Seattle in week 3, the Dolphins. So they play Jacksonville and Buffalo out of the gate. Then they're at Seattle, and they host Tennessee. They're at New England. That is a manageable first 5 games before the bye week. And towards the end, they get the Jets twice, the Texans, the Niners, the Packers, Browns. Man, week 13 on, colder weather. They are going to Green Bay. They are going to Cleveland and New York all late in the season. It's going to be rough. So they've got a lot to prove, but I think McDaniel is good. But it's shocking to me that the Finns have not won a playoff game since the year 2000. Y2K.
Yeah,
that surprises me. I don't know why it surprises me, but it does.
They were bad for a really long time, but even since they've gotten kind of better, I wouldn't have thought it had been that long either, but then if you asked me to name a win of theirs in the playoffs, I wouldn't be able to come up with one. So
they've lost 6 in a row. But, yeah, so then I went and looked at the list of the franchises with the longest drought without a playoff win. And, of course, the Lions were by far number one. They hadn't won a playoff game since 1991. Now, that makes sense. Like that, we all know the Lions franchise is terrible, and they never win in the playoffs. They never even get to the playoffs. They hadn't won a playoff game since 91. They are now off the list. They were number one, so they're out. The Twins were number four. They hadn't won a playoff game since 2002, but they won last year, so they're now off the list. And then you also have, a little bit further down the list, you have the Kings of Sacramento and the Timberwolves of Minnesota, both notoriously bad franchises that hadn't won a playoff game in years. And they have recently gotten off the schneid. So you got four franchises, Kings, T-Wolves, Lions, and Twins, that just in the last couple of years are now off of the list. So can you guess the new top four franchises? And again, we're looking at hockey. We're looking at NHL, MLB, NFL, and NBA, the American Big Four. Which franchise now has the longest drought without a playoff win? Can you guess?
Oh, without
or even come close?
Boy, I don't know if I can come close. I mean, I feel like we do the championship ones way more often. Ooh, woof.
Of course, the Mariners got off the schneid, too.
Right, they got a playoff win, but they still World Series drought and all that. God, trying to go through like four different leagues at once. I don't even know where to start.
Well, it's in baseball.
Okay.
And again, I think it's a team that you wouldn't think has gone this long, but it's the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh.
They haven't won a playoff game since 1995.
That's not true.
It is true.
Because the San Francisco, a playoff game or a playoff series?
Playoff game.
That's not true. The Giants in 2012? They were down 2-0 in a wild card series to the Reds, and they came back to beat them 3-2 in a five-game series, or maybe it was a divisional series. But Buster Posey hit a grand slam off Matt Latos. That's just, I don't think it's right.
It's just not true. Wait a minute.
And I mean, unless they're counting, because baseball is like series.
Yeah, you're right.
Versus.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. What
I
mean, is
the
that?
Only reason I know that is because it was an iconic moment in Giants dynasty history because Posey slammed off Latos.
Damn it.
I'll pot ya!
Well, thank you for being here today.
Sure.
You have finally contributed to the program. I thought that list was spot on.
Yeah.
It is not. So, okay.
At
so
least one of them's not.
Well, they're out. All right. Forget them. You
Maybe
know
I'll debunk the rest of it.
You know who that makes number one? The Miami Dolphins.
Wow.
Yes. They now have the longest playoff drought without a win.
That's incredible.
So, 2000. Number three would be the Raiders. They are they haven't won a playoff game since 2002.
Okay.
And then number, sliding in now to number, or sorry, number three, number two is the Raiders. Number three is going to be the Hornets, who have never won a playoff game, but they've only been around
For 18
years.
Yeah.
So, look at that. Kings, T-Wolves, Lions, Twins, all out. Now it's the Dolphins, Raiders, and Hornets.
Man.
Not the teams you think of when you think of, you know, futility.
No, definitely not.
You think, like, when I think of futility, it's Lions, Browns,
yep.
Royals, Pirates, gosh.
The Saints were terrible for a long time.
Saints?
When they called them the Aints?
Yeah.
I mean, they were not good. People wore bags over their heads.
What is the worst franchise in sports now? Now that some of these are getting their crap together.
I mean, based on like the missteps, the head coach firings, the jettisoning of quarterbacks, like the Panthers seem pretty bad these days.
Ooh, that's good.
I know obviously the Commanders have new ownership, which is positive, I think.
That's a good guess. The Commanders are up there because they haven't won a playoff game in a while either.
Yeah.
They're getting close to that list.
Yeah.
And Dan Schneider is just a mess. That's a good one. It used to be the Clippers, you know, before Ballmer got there.
Yeah, that's the thing is it feels like, I mean, the Warriors were dog mess forever until Joe Lacob and company came and picked them up. I mean,
that's true. Sneaky bad.
They were awful. I mean, I think in over a 30-year period, they finished dead last in the division a third of the time.
So it's got to be the A's, right? It's the Oakland.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's the right call.
But they're going to Vegas, at least hopefully.
We think. Or Sacramento or nowhere.
Sacramento.
Well, that's the thing is they're
We think
Vegas isn't going to be ready until like 2028 and they weren't going to work out a deal in the stadium. So the A's were going to go up to Sacramento to play for a couple years.
Oh, that's right.
At the AAA stadium.
Yeah. They're by far the worst, aren't they? And the Rockies are sneaking up.
The Rockies' ownership has gotten pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
I feel like...
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Who are the other ones? There, I mean, there's some other franchises that are kind of just notorious for not being very good.
Well, the Lions.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not just let them off the hook after one good season. All right. Well, my list was not so great.
Well, it allowed me to contribute something.
I did
so
a lot of work
you.
On that.
Yeah. Well.
Probably not going to win an Emmy for that one.
Can you win an Emmy for this show?
Spit on that thing.
Yeah. Don't they have radio awards?
I thought Emmy was just TV. Is it radio too? You have radio Emmys?
I think you have radio Emmys.
You probably do. Proves we at least I have not been up for one. I have no idea.
Blazers are creeping up there, somebody said. No.
I mean,
think so?
How soon until we start having the conversation? Jody won't sell.
Yeah.
They're messing everything up. Dame's gone. No more superstar. Might have botched the early pick. I don't know.
Yeah, but they're always in the playoffs, though, at least until recently, right? I mean, they haven't gone in 4 years or, yeah, 3 years. But they, before that, they were always in the playoffs.
Let's see in 5 years. I mean, or in 3 years, maybe, because it feels like this rebuild might go for a while.
Listen, man, I got to tell you something. I'm going to defend the Blazers. If you look at their franchise history, of course, 1970-71 was their first season. They did not go to the playoffs for six seasons, and then they won the whole damn thing. So that's their first seven seasons right there. Okay, from that point forward, 6, 7, 8, there is only 11 times from 78 to 2024, 11 times they didn't make the playoffs.
It's a nice little run.
I mean, I'm sorry.
They've been considered fine.
The worst.
No, the
worst
not the franchise. Worst. But then, I mean...
But this bitch that's running it.
Worst can take on different meanings depending on...
That's true.
You know.
Well, it's probably
your
been,
ownership and
look. It's been pretty frustrating, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like it's getting more frustrating before it gets better. So.
And thank God for Damian Lillard, because if you didn't have him,
oh boy, yeah,
you would have gone from the Mo Cheeks years without Lillard. You're right. Like without Lillard, it's been Thunderdome since Mo Cheeks. But he saved you for a handful of years. You know, basically 8-9 seasons. He saved you there.
Tear Bear was solid.
Gave you a little bit of hope. Yeah, but Tear Bear was solid, but if Tear Bear
it's because of Dame.
If he doesn't have Lillard,
yeah.
He ain't going
agreed.
To play.
We agree on that, yeah.
All right, let's get out of here and let's make room for Joey Harrington as we tee you up for Oregon-Idaho this weekend. That is next, but first, Buck with Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Friday, the most anticipated season in Oregon Ducks history. Can I call it that? I don't know. Let's ask Joey Harrington, who conveniently played for the Ducks and joins us every week at 5:30. What's up?
Can we just clarify something before we get too far down the line here?
Of course.
One, where were you last week? Two, are you by yourself this week? Because I haven't heard the illustrious voice of Big Sook. And three, I thought last week was the first Football Friday, and you completely threw me for a curveball.
Well, I did. Okay. I'm going to start with three first, okay?
Okay.
Last week was the first Football Friday. I did not say in that open
that it was the first Football Friday. I just said Football Friday. To question number one.
Okay, good. Touché. Yeah.
Okay. Question number one, I was out at your stomping grounds, Black Butte Ranch, winning the Black Butte Ranch Homeowner Guest Golf Tournament.
What?
That's right.
Winning.
We won.
How? Did you cheat?
Thought about it, but no. We were great. My buddy Cy Kane from Straightaway Cocktails, I've never seen him play better. I made some putts. We were really, really good, and it was really fun. And we expect to see you there next year. And we stalked you, but we couldn't find your house.
Got it. Okay.
And number two,
because it's hidden. It's hidden from rascals like you.
Well, I know. Well, we actually weren't stalking you, but we were. We did go house hunting, and man, the word is out about Black Butte Ranch.
That's a whole another topic. But anyway, and number two.
He's not here.
He's on 3-1-2 on the Super Bowl here?
No. No. I mean, if he's here, he's being awful quiet, which is not like him. But I don't see him. So.
I know.
Yeah. He's not here. So his kid is going up to Western Washington in Bellingham. And he made it was kind of an audible from Eastern Washington to Western Washington. And so he had to get a run up there and get him a place to live. And then, and then conveniently, he has to see Metallica each of the next two nights in Seattle.
There's the reason. You know, I actually would not be surprised if he convinced his offspring to switch schools so that it coincided with the Metallica tour dates.
You might be onto something there.
Got it.
So those
now
are
the question of, is this the most anticipated season in Oregon football history?
It's got to be, doesn't it?
I mean, can we call it top five, top three? Because, okay, look, I got to think that Marcus's, well, I guess I was going to say senior year, but really his junior year, had to be pretty dang anticipated, right? Like, we knew we were going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
We knew, like, he was legitimately going to win the Heisman Trophy, right? That's let's not go full recency bias without including that.
Okay.
I would have to guess, because I wasn't on the outside of this, I was on the inside, that the 2001 season, my senior year, was really highly anticipated, not because of necessarily expecting to be in a national championship hunt, but because of that was really the first time that we had ever been talked about being in a national championship hunt, right? Like, there wasn't a full expectation of it, like, hey, you know, this is the time, here it is, but it was like, oh my God, here we are. I would have to think that the year... after the Rose Bowl, the gangrene, the Cotton Bowl year, it didn't quite play out, I think, the way that everybody would have wanted. Cotton Bowl is fantastic, mm-hmm. right? But there had to be some anticipation going into that year. Bo Nix's senior year, I remember there would be a lot of anticipation last year. Talk about, you know, Bo potentially winning a Heisman, you know, being in a national championship race. But yes, like, can you legitimately say this is the most talented team Oregon has ever had? Yes. Top to bottom, every position on the roster, absolutely. Can you legitimately say that they are one of 6 to 8 teams that have a real shot of winning a national championship? Yes. Now, I'm not being, you know me, I'm always going to be an Oregon homer. But I will do it in a respectful, like, thoughtful way. If we're calling a spade, this coaching staff has had four. What's the word we want to use? Like, impactful, just call them rivalry games, right? Four really important games over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And they haven't won any of them. Right. So. For me, when you say the most anticipated, like, We knew what we were going to get from Marcus, right? We knew what we were going to get from our 0-1 team. We knew what we were going to get from Bo. For me, there is still a little bit of, for all of this talent, and for as what, I mean, and you know me, like, I think Dan and the staff have done an unbelievable job, top to bottom. However, we still have, you know, we've got a new quarterback, right? Is he going to be a Heisman Trophy, you know, likely one of the two favorites? Yeah, he is. He's going to be incredible, but he's still new, right? We still don't quite know what he's done. The coaching staff still hasn't gotten over that hump in terms of, you know, winning those big games. So, yeah, like, there is a little bit of, at least I personally have a little bit of, anxiety is not the right word, but there's still a few question marks that I'm sure will be answered after week two, but I don't know. How does that all sound?
Well, it sounds good, but I think all of that feeds back to why it's one of the most anticipated seasons, or the most anticipated season ever. All of that, because there are some questions. Oregon does have to prove, like, as good as they've been, they played in two national championship games, they still, you know, they have to prove it on the biggest stage, in the biggest games. And this is the most talented team they've ever had. You add the Dan Lanning got to get over the hump against the rivals factor. You add, this is the, I think it's, the Big Ten factor is enormous. I mean, this is, just wild that they're in the Big Ten.
So you're not necessarily saying, like, this is the season, but you're saying good, bad, indifferent, correct, question marks, talent, everything put together, that this could be the most anticipated season that they, or important, or, yeah, I mean, I could get on board with that. I mean, I could bag what you're mowing.
Well, it's the highest ranking they've ever had preseason. The only one that comes close is, like you mentioned, Mariota's senior year. And that one certainly highly anticipated. I'm not saying there aren't other seasons that weren't highly anticipated, but I just don't think the interest could be any higher. As good as they are, as talented as they are, the Lanning factor, young, unproven still, Big Ten. Yep. I mean, dude, this is fascinating.
Dylan Gabriel. I mean, we legitimately have the number two in Heisman odds, who hasn't even taken a snap for Oregon. Like, yeah, there's a lot of, like, really interesting things that are potentially happening, which I think it's a good thing for me, actually, that it provides a little bit of, like I said, not anxiety isn't the right word, but intrigue.
Yes,
I think that's a good word for me. I am extremely intrigued to see how this season plays out.
And that's why I think intrigue equals anticipation. You know, it's just that's the line those are the dots I'm connecting.
Okay. I got you. We're good there.
All right, let's pause. When we come back, we'll talk about the Idaho game. I would imagine these games, well, because we don't have to talk about Idaho, but I want to know from a player's perspective, these are probably pretty fun games to play in, or maybe they're not. I don't know. And did Joey ever?
I always stunk it up. I always stunk it up in these games.
Ah, see, there you go. We can talk about that. And did Joey ever once think about padding his stats? We have more with Joey Harrington next on The Fan. No one. All right, we're back with Joey Harrington, former Ducks quarterback. Another season begins. I think we got him to agree that it's the most anticipated season in Oregon history, but he was trying to fight it. But I think we got him there. But yes, Idaho, not that interesting. These types of games, fun to play in, aren't they, Joey?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's fun to play football. There's not a whole lot to gain out of it. You know, you just hope you can polish a few things and stay healthy.
Did you ever get into these? So you said you played poorly in these types of games?
Oh, horrible.
Why?
Miserable.
You weren't focused.
I don't know what it was, but, like, and I've told you this story 173,000 times. I don't know which, whether it was Idaho or Utah or Fresno or whoever it was. And this was, you know, when Utah was still in the Mountain West and was, you know, on our non-league schedule, but, like, we were three touchdown favorites or something like that, and going in down three at halftime, and we're walking up the tunnel, and Bilotti turns to me and he says, you know, you don't have to wait to the fourth quarter to start playing well. And, you know, like, for whatever reason, like, you go back and look at the stat sheets from the Idaho game in, that'd be my senior, junior year, or, gosh, you know, Utah or Fresno. Like, I probably threw for, like, a 180 and a touchdown or something like that, you know. Like, and then SC or Arizona State or, you know, some big moment, like, that's when I would play well. But for whatever reason, you said going into the break, did I ever think about padding my stats? I would have loved to pad stats, like, but I always sucked. Like, that was, I couldn't, because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't complete a stinking pass unless it was against, like, a all Pac-10 corner.
Well, and I would imagine you knew that you didn't really need to, I mean, you know, you don't need to throw for 350 against Idaho. You throw for 180, you win by 30, and you run the ball and you go home, you know. It's probably one of those things.
No, but see, we didn't win by 30. That was the problem. Like, we won like 24-17 or something. Yeah. Like, why? Seriously, go.
I'm going to look at
your interweb box, okay, and check out, like, you know, the scores from those games. There were only a few that were blowouts. Like, there were quite a few of those 2000, 2001 non-league games that were significantly closer than I needed to be because I played really smelly.
2001. Whoa. You guys played Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was right out of the gates. Yep. At home. Won by 4, 7, 3, something like that.
You won by 3. Yep. Then you played Utah, who then was in the Mountain West, 24-10. And
yeah, I think it was like 17-10 till the fourth quarter.
You played Utah State and beat them 38-21.
What about the year before? We played Idaho and we played Fresno, and they were not.
The year before, okay, we've got Nevada, 36-7.
That was a blowout one. Uh-huh.
You went to Wisconsin and lost, and you played Idaho and won 42-13.
No.
That's correct.
You're lying.
Not lying.
You're lying.
My eyes are very important to me, and I see with them here 42-13. So
yeah,
I don't know what you're thinking about.
I don't know.
Revisionist history. What is your most memorable game against lesser competition? Do you have one?
Oh, Utah State was fun, because that was mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like week 6 or 7, I would say, maybe 5. And we went to Utah State. And that was, they pulled, I mean, it was a beautiful stadium. It was the biggest game that they had ever played. And we were the highest-ranked opponent to come in there. I think we were 6th, 7th in the country when we went to Utah State. And I don't even know, where is Utah State?
Ooh, going back to the computer?
Logan? It's not Ogden. Anyway, wherever it is, we went out for pregame warm-ups, and I was the holder for the kickers, and they totally pulled remember the old Notre Dame trick where they used to grow out the grass when the fast teams went under Lou Holtz?
Yeah.
Like, they grow out the grass over the other team's ankles because they were a option team that, you know, tried to jam it down your throat. Anytime that somebody who was perceived to be faster than them came to town, they'd just grow the grass out. I went to hold for the first time in warmups, and the grass came up almost to the bottom of the laces. Jeez. On the ball. I was like, oh, yeah, they're going full Lou Holtz on us. So that was a fun one.
They're in Logan. That's north of Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Almost to Idaho. So
yeah.
I do have to ask this question. Joey Harrington with us here on The Fan. What do you look for in a game like this?
No injuries. I mean, there really is, like, at this point, the difference between the haves and the have-nots. It's like we talked about at the beginning, like, there are 6 to 8 teams that have a legitimate shot to win a national championship that have stockpiled more talent than anybody in the country, and Oregon's one of those teams. And consequently, the teams at the bottom have lost the talent. They have lost, like, because of the transfer portal, the big teams are literally going through and pulling every good player from the small teams. The divide between, like, our, whatever you said, 40, 41-23 game against Idaho my junior year.
Once again, you're trying to make that closer than it was. It was 42-13.
Yeah, I knew there was a 40 and a 3 in there somewhere. Point being, that would be an absolute travesty if that happened. Like, it would be, like, this game is going to be a 56-0 before halftime kind of game. Like, this is the old Chip Kelly type of stuff. So what do you look for? You look for an offense to be efficient, to get in, to get out, and get off the field. You look for a defense to establish a line of scrimmage, to say, we are physically more dominant than you, and then they get off the field. Like, that is literally all I'm looking for. If this is a game that goes into the third quarter, and God forbid into the fourth quarter, then there are some things that will need to be cleaned up for next week. But this is nothing more than a glorified scrimmage.
We spoke with Lanning yesterday, and it was interesting to talk to him about the new rule of in-helmet communications, which is interesting, and it's definitely an adjustment, he mentioned. When you transition from college to the NFL, and then you get into the league and you have the in-helmet comms, was that different? Was that an adjustment? How much better was it? Like, is that a thing, or is that a nothing burger?
It's something you get used to very quickly. I actually liked the signals better because they couldn't interject nuggets afterwards, right? There were plenty of times where I'd get the play call and then, hey, look for this. Or, hey, don't forget about this. And it's like, shut up. Just let me do, like, let me see it on my own. Like, I got it. Like, just leave me alone. Like, if I get the signals and, you know, Jason 5 signals in, right, Tom, 747 throwback. I'm like, oh, cool. I know where I'm going. And then, hey, then I can see the things and it forces me to think as opposed to somebody else interjecting nuggets and coaching points. But, you know, that was just me.
Yeah, that's interesting. I suppose everybody's different. Okay, quick trivia with Joey Harrington. The last time Oregon lost a non-conference home game, do you know when that was?
The last time they lost a non-conference home game. Okay, well, I think of Boise. But that would have been LeGarrette.
You're talking about Chip's Boise?
Uh-huh. That would have been what year? That would have been 07? 08?
Bloop. Now you're making me double check.
But there's got to be one since then.
Oh, okay. So they lost.
Michigan?
No,
we won. Beat, yeah. I'm trying to think. We beat Oklahoma. That was 06, though. God, who? Ooh. It would have been, Indiana was before that, too.
Believe it or not.
I'm drawing a blank.
Well, you were on the right track. So you made me second guess, and I had to go look it up. Chip Kelly's loss against Boise State was, let's see, hold on. I got to double check this now. Hold on. Make sure I'm right about this.
Uh-oh.
So they've won.
What's the game they used to play? Stump the Schwab? Yeah. Or
Stump the Schwab. The Boise State. Okay, so the Chip Kelly Boise State game, I thought I was going crazy. That was at Boise State. They lost that game down there. So that was not a home game.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that was in Boise.
We lost to Boise at home.
You did, and you were right. So I was conflating the Boise State loss in Mike Bellotti's last year at home, which is the last time they lost a non-conference home game, which was 2008. I was conflating that one with Chip Kelly's first loss to Boise, but that was at Boise the next year. So they beat him twice in a row. But yes, the last non-conference home game they lost was Boise State with Kellen Moore in 2008. Which is crazy.
I was doing the same thing that you did.
Yeah, we did.
I knew we lost it. I knew we lost at home, but I thought that was Chip's. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I get half credit. Do I get partial points?
Yeah. Hell yeah. You were very close. The other games that they won, some big games that they won in between there in that 32-game home win streak, they beat Tennessee. That was a big one. Michigan State.
Oklahoma
was before.
Yeah.
I think there was a ranked Utah team when Utah was not in the Pac-12. So, yeah, good little streak. Okay, last question. What is a successful season for Oregon according to Joey Harrington?
I mean, that comes back to what you believe is realistic and what your expectations are, right? We are at the point where we should expect to, you know, at the very least, be in the playoff every year and compete for a national championship every year. Like, that is a very realistic, you know, place where we sit. That being said, we still are 0-4 against our rivals, and we haven't won a conference. I mean, you take out the COVID year, which didn't really count, right? That was like 3-2, and we won the Pac-12. I think we've only won one conference championship in the last decade.
Ooh. Crystal ball.
I mean,
Crystal ball
technically won two in a row, but that COVID year was one of them. It doesn't count in my book.
You're right.
So point being, like, are we in this place of the most 10 of the top 10 most talented teams in the country? Absolutely. Do we have an incredible head coach who's taking our program in the right direction? Absolutely. Are we also moving to the Big Ten in a year where the playoff is expanding? In a year, you know, like, what's successful to me? I think making a splash if at the end of the season you said we either won the Big Ten championship and or won a game in the college football playoff, mm-hmm. I would walk away saying, okay,
yeah,
good,
yeah.
You know, that was really good. Do I think that we can win that national championship? Absolutely. Do I think that it's also possible to, you know, lose a game or two, not win the Big Ten championship, you know, and then maybe get to the playoffs and get upset by somebody? Sure. Like, that's a very realistic possibility in this new setup. So I think you kind of have to – it's an interest – okay, wow, what about tying it back in? It's really intriguing because there are so many topics or ideas or things that seem certain but are in conflict with something else.
Right?
Are we incredibly talented? Yeah. Have we done it with this coaching staff or this team yet? No. Do we have an incredibly – you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the country? Yeah. Has he taken a snap for Oregon? No. You know, is the playoff bigger? Yeah. Are we moving to a conference with a lot more good teams? Yeah. Like, yeah, this is really interesting. Yep. Good job. I like the thought process.
Can't wait. And I got to correct you on one thing. I think you said landing 0-4 against his rival. He's 1-3. He did beat Oregon State last year.
Oh, yeah, last year.
Yeah. But they had the one that they blew.
I was thinking of the two. Well, yeah. So he would technically be 1-4 because lost to Washington twice last year.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And then the year before lost to Washington and Oregon State and then beat Oregon State. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Good point.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. And we will talk to you next week.
Yes, we will. And I will. And let's make sure our friends back.
We will. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Joey.
Okay. Bye.
That is Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. How do we feel about paying for drinks after a hole-in-one? We discuss again next on The Club on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.